Thank you for listening to the Resources for Integrated Care podcast series, Enrollee Advisory Committees Through a Health Equity Lens. This podcast is excerpted from a webinar presented live on March 14, 2024. In this podcast, Pam Burnett, Senior Manager of Health Equity and Quality at Healthcare Service Corporation, HCSC, Blue Cross and Blue Shield, BCBS, shares an overview of enrollee advisory committees and promising practices used to foster meaningful collaboration.
My name is Pam Burnett, and I work for Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, which is a division of Healthcare Services Corporation. A big portion of my career was actually spent in the field of telecommunications as a certified project manager. And then almost 5 years ago, I transitioned into the field of healthcare insurance. I have experience in the enterprise project management office, also with Medicaid operations. And then I currently work on our health equity and quality team, where I serve our Medicaid, Medicare, and also dually eligible populations. So just a bit of background on HCSC. Again, we serve Medicaid, Medicare, and dually eligible enrollees. For our Medicaid services, we serve in three states, Illinois, Texas, New Mexico. For Medicare, we support Illinois, Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Montana. And then in our MMAI planner, MMP is Illinois, and then we have DSNPs populations in Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. So when we look at our total population served, we have over 1 million Medicaid enrollees, right around a little over 197 now individuals for Medicare. And then when we look at our financial alignment initiative individuals, we're around 27K. We also do, in just not our dually eligible segment, but in all of our populations that we support, we do look at data broken down by race and ethnicity. So as we talk about our dual eligible today, just to give you a little bit of the lay of the land, from a race and ethnicity standpoint, about 44% of that membership is white, 24% is Black, 18% Hispanic, 11% Asian, and then 3% unknown. One of the main things that we, of course, are looking at today is how did we go about applying our health equity lens, right, to formulating and developing our EAC committees. And so, of course, we like to go and we look at the background, right, just to make sure we're all on the same starting ground. So we know in 2023, there was a final rule that came out that said all dual eligible special needs plans must have established and maintained one or more EACs for each state in which the DSNP is offered. Part of that final rule also said that we needed to make sure that we were improving health equity for our underserved populations. So when we think about that, we thought about, you know, how do we and what are the things we need to consider when applying the health equity lens, right? And first of all, it involves intentionally looking at the potential positive and negative impacts of longstanding systemic social and health inequities. You have to consider the themes of how your organization can be inclusive and avoid bias, stigmatization. So that's pretty self-explanatory, right? But you also have to recognize and reflect the diversity of the dually eligible population. That includes in your marketing materials, your presentations, even your outreach script. You want to make sure that you're providing culturally, linguistically appropriate, easy to understand information. And you want to ensure that everyone, regardless of their race or ethnicity, has an opportunity to achieve optimal health. When we thought about our EAC, right, we went back to some of the basic principles that we use in project management. And so we started with planning, right, being intentional. We knew that this first year of us having our EAC, which was in 2023, was going to include some wins, successes, along with some bumps, bruises, and learning lessons along the way. So we knew our first year of those quarterly EAC meetings was going to be foundational for establishing our structures, processes, and participation needed to continue and build equitable and actionable EACs, right? So some of our initial activities we started off with to address health equity with the EAC included, first of all, meeting with our internal teams, right? Because our internal stakeholders are a very big part of this. This is not something one department can do in a silo. So we met with legal, our care coordination, our duals teams, our operation teams, right, before even kicking off our EAC. We wanted to make sure that everybody understood what the final rule was, and then that also giving them opportunity to share experience and provide input to the creation of the EAC. This planning was a pivotal part in helping us to secure our leadership support to create a dedicated EAC staff role for the dually eligible population. The other thing that was a key initial activity was analyzing a variety of our data sets. So we looked at SDOH data. We looked at our claims data. We looked at HEDIS data. We looked at health plan enrollee experience data, right? What surveys did we have that we could pull information from of what members were looking at? These analyses helped us identify disparities and also helped us inform EAC meeting topics and also our agenda item. So then in the second part, like again, if we're thinking about project planning, we looked at define, right? And we used a data-driven approach. So we wanted to make sure that we knew the populations in the various states that we were trying to serve. So we used data to identify and recruit representatives. We pulled, again, various different internal reports, right, to ensure, again, at the different states that we understood what that membership demographics looked like. We had reports that we shared that had, you know, address information, phone number information, email, race, gender, language preference, because that was all going to be part and necessary for the registration process, as well as we, again, wanted to understand, and because we serve various states, what the populations and the uniqueness to those populations were in each particular state. We also made sure that we used statistical techniques like randomization to, as we were doing outreach, to have a process where we could do sampling of health plan enrollees, right? We knew we could not reach every member all the time, right? But just making a concentrated effort to make sure that as we were planning each quarter, that we were reaching out to members that we had not reached out to the previous quarter, or that we knew in a particular county or zip code, right, that we were just ensuring that that plan would eventually cover our outreach to all of our members. We also use city, county, and zip code data. Although we are currently still in a virtual setting, our plan is, as part of the 2024 layout, by third quarter is to do in-person meetings. So that is going to be very helpful with us determining the location of those meetings to help reduce some of those SDOH barriers, like transportation as an example. The other thing that we did is we also used the data to identify health equity challenges that are discussed with our EAC enrollees. So for example, we combined state and county level data with population health and SDOH data to give us insights that the enrollees may be experiencing related to things like food insecurity, housing, employment, social supports, right, to ensure that we have the right resources in place, right, to be able to share that information with our enrollees during the meeting. And then once again, I can't stress enough that we use various tools like our HEDIS dashboards to understand disease prevalence of the population and identify possible areas where interventions could help improve health equity. So an example would be if, you know, the plan staff, again, looked at the HEDIS data, we identified disparities, we had internal discussions within our health equity team and with some of our other external partners to explicitly discuss what those gaps were and how we could address those gaps. So then the next step was engagement, right? And so that included our EAC participant recruitment. And so we wanted to make sure that we use the following enrollee-centered approaches to engage and recruit our EAC participants, right? So we use third-party partners that we work with to conduct that initial outreach to the members and also ultimately register the members for that while they have them on the line for our quarterly meetings. So we wanted to make sure that we made the process as easy for that enrollee that was interested in attending as possible. We also offered participants the options to request an interpreter as part of that registration process. So they asked the question if they would need an interpreter so we could make sure that we had the resources available to support that. And just giving a live example, in our EAC this month, we actually had someone come back and say Vietnamese. And so we were able to know that with the tool we use for translation, that they would be able to select Vietnamese language as the preference so that they could see the meeting in what was in a language that would be meaningful to them. We also have an interpreter available. It is a Spanish-speaking interpreter at the beginning of the meeting. So as we're going through those support slides and providing information regarding the translation tool, that they are receiving that in a language that would be helpful, culturally sensitive for them. We also partnered with an event management and marketing company, and we had several discussions of looking at marketing materials, looking at the language of the registration process to ensure that it was culturally appropriate. We made sure that the marketing materials and the photos represented the member or an enrollee demographic that we were doing the outreach to. We also launched text campaigns to recruit potential EAC members. And then also our third-party partner, as part of that outreach plan, they follow up with those participants that did register 3 days prior to the meeting, just with a nice reminder call, just letting them know the meeting would be taking place. So then we moved to implementation. And so implementation we consider to be pretty much the management of the meeting, right? And so we implement and manage our meeting in the following way. So we work very, very closely with our duals teams and a lot of our other internal stakeholders to ensure that we are compliant in the activities that we plan for the agenda, the decks that we show. We want to make sure that we're in compliance with all of that. So we work very, very closely with our operations team in co-managing the meeting and walking through the presentations and all of the documents together. Again, we held virtual meetings for all of 2023. We do plan to go to in-person meetings in 2024. And then we also worked with a marketing firm, which our meeting, they facilitate our meetings and a lot of our materials for us. And that firm is facilitated by a minority woman-owned vendor. They support and understand health equity. And so our conversations flow very naturally as we're talking about things like culturally sensitive marketing materials. And so finding that diverse vendor was very important to us in our pursuit to make sure that health equity was part of our EAC meeting. In our EAC meetings, we also have content, and we make sure every quarter that we are including consistent information regarding SDOH topics, regarding DSNP benefits. We have as a standing agenda item redetermination, and we also do special presentations, whether it's from our pharmacy team, care management, disease management teams. The topics with disease management can change depending on the state that we're in and what is the prevalent disease state that we're looking at. But we typically try to keep pharmacy, also health equity, care management as a standard part of that agenda. And engagement, with engagement, we always want to, again, make sure that we use the approach to have our third-party vendor conduct the outreach. We do make sure that we offer the participants the options to have the interpreter. We remind them 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time. We use the launch text campaign, and then we also follow up with registered EAC participants 3 days prior to the phone call. And so again, but in the implementation meetings, this is where we are just making sure, again, that we are following and working with our internal teams to ensure we're in compliance. We want to make sure that we work with diverse vendor partners. who understand health equity. And then we also want to make sure that we're consistent with our topic related to SDOH needs redetermination, health equity, and care management. Also, as part of our implementation, we always want to make sure, again, we have our internal subject matter experts available. That includes customer care, care coordination, quality improvement, our benefits team, our pharmacy team, because we want to make sure that we're able to, as much as possible, give the member and the enrollee the information that will be most meaningful to them. And we also want to make sure that we have them there as a support staff should any questions arise. We also make sure that we use polls and surveys. We strategically place those throughout the presentation of the meeting to make sure we're engaging the enrollee in conversation and feedback. We don't leave all of our poll questions to the end because we want them to be able to respond to the question and then also give any feedback while that particular subject is relevant and top of mind for them. With our virtual EAC meetings, we have pre-planning meetings, right? So we're making sure that we're hosting dry runs with internal staff and the presenters 1 week before the meeting, so everybody is committed to the meeting, understand when they need to be there. We walk through the deck. We make sure we're capturing participant registration and information because we do send them a gift card for attending the meeting, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. Again, we make sure we have 1 to 3 poll questions after each presentation so we can get that feedback immediately. And then we also leverage those survey and poll questions results to help shape the agenda as we plan the next quarter's meeting. We also, again, use virtual Zoom-based translation service called Wordly. That is what I was speaking to, where the member can actually select what language do they want to see the translation in. And so we provide that service, as well as, again, we do have internal staff available to help interpret during our EAC calls for our Hispanic members. And so lastly, just going into a little bit more detail regarding feedback, survey, and reporting, again, we suggest the following strategies. We feel like that has really helped us to promote robust and meaningful feedback from our EAC. The post-meeting surveys, as I've kind of stated before, we do poll questions after each presentation. But at the end, though, we do a post-meeting survey, right, just so that we can understand any concerns immediately from the member. As well, we give them opportunities to provide feedback on future topics or agenda items that they would like to see. We also close that feedback loop by making sure that EAC participants' concerns or recommendations are addressed immediately, and sometimes those need to be addressed in private because of the sensitivity associated with the subject. And other times, there are questions that may come up at the end, which is why we make sure that our staff remains on the call, our internal stakeholders, in case they have to answer a question at the end. We also strive to capture self-reported participant demographics. So in our registration process, we do collect information related to race, primary language, zip code, and gender, because that does help us with reporting and also planning future quarter meetings. We also implemented last year a year-end impact report, which was actually turned out to be a fabulous report that was created by a member of my team. And in that report, they looked at all of the quarters for 2023, and they did a breakdown of our engagement and participation rate, breakdown of our participants related to race and ethnicity, age, their location. We did a summary of all of the poll questions and responses and future engagement opportunities. The plan staff then reviewed this with all of our internal stakeholders. So as we were going into and thinking about our planning in 2024, then we could incorporate some of those different things at the beginning of the year. A good example of that would be our community affairs team, right? We implemented this year of having them join as well. So as we're talking about disparities or certain diseases and they know of community events that may be taking place in that area, they share that information with the enrollees on the call. And then lastly, and most importantly, I can't stress enough that how important it is to compensate the EAC participants fairly for their time and their expertise. We share thank you letters with them. We make sure that we have the information to get them a gift card because we know this would not be possible without them. So we want to ensure that our enrollees feel valued and that we recognize that they don't have to take the time, but we're very appreciative of them taking that time.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is presented by the Lewin Group and is supported through the Medicare-Medicaid Coordination Office at the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. MMCO is dedicated to helping beneficiaries enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid have access to seamless, high-quality healthcare that includes the full range of covered services in both programs. To support providers in their efforts to deliver more integrated, coordinated care, MMCO is developing technical assistance and actionable tools based on successful innovations in care models. To learn more about current efforts and resources, please visit our website, www.resourcesforintegratedcare.com. You can also find us on X, formerly Twitter. Our handle is @integrate_care, or follow Resources for Integrated Care on LinkedIn to stay up to date with our recent products and technical assistance.